Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Transfer window slams shut a little bit later on today. We've heard from journos this morning. Let's hear from an agent who has been through the highs and lows of a transfer window shutting. Of course, Neil Sang. Morning, Shisangi.
Morning, Steve.
Well, what do we think about the window? Are you still all in favour of it? Is it in the wrong place? We've had a lot of players and managers recently saying, just bring it to the start of the season.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. I'm not a major fan of it anyway. I think it makes clubs or, you know, businesses, individuals panic. And I just think it's a bit of fuss, I think, for the smaller clubs as well, now that they've had the restrictions from the loans. So they can't even sign a loan outside the window now. So I just think it's a little bit of a pig's ear. But I think if you're going to have it, revert back to having the smaller clubs, that, you know, your League One and your League Two clubs being able to do loans outside the window from the big Premier League clubs. And for the Premier League clubs, move it to the start of the season. Get your business done, and all the players and their families and all the clubs and everybody else, they know where they're working, don't they?
There's an imbalance, isn't there, between clubs because of the financial power and nature of different clubs at the moment in different leagues.
No, well, exactly that. And that's the thing is, when a club such as Manchester City come knocking and they'll say, right, we want to spend 40 or 50 million pounds on a player. You know, they've got enough clout to pressure that player and pressure that club, where it might not be the right move for that player or that club at that time. But because of the pressure, players sometimes roll over and clubs will roll over and maybe not get maximum value. So you're right, that's just one little instance where the transfer window just doesn't work. I think if certain, you know, let's just say Alexis Sanchez, he maybe gives Arsenal assurances, go on, I'll stay for the season and let's get it done. But he's got a pre-agreed plan with his agent that he's going to do it a day or two before and then say, now we're desperate to go. And Man City have been bubbling in the background and all of a sudden Man City steam in. So players and agents can utilise the window to their own advantage as well. So that's why I think there's lots of shenanigans, there's lots of politics that goes on. I just think, for me, I would scrap it and let people take a bit more time over their business.
There has been a lot of panic in recent years, which hasn't resulted in big transfer deadline days. But what's different now? Why is it going to turn out to be a much more spectacular event today? We've seen Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Sanchez looks on the verge of a move. Costa's future's uncertain. There's big players whose futures seem uncertain. Why is it different this year?
You know what, Steve? I don't know. I've wondered that as well. I mean, I don't know whether one of the catalysts to the big money, let's just talk about the size of the fees for now. I don't know whether the Neymar deal has really, really distorted the marketplace. So the money's gone up. In terms of players, you know, the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sanchez leaving it really late. You know what? I honestly wouldn't know. It's just a bizarre one for me this year. I think everything's been distorted. I think there's a lot of to and fro. I think I think with the wealth on offer now, I think, you know, in sort of past seasons, you'd say that your giants within the transfer window would be Chelsea, Man United, and Man City. Now Liverpool seems to be a bit of a giant in the transfer window. Everton have gone and spent just massive money as well. So there are a lot more clubs now because of the wealth on offer and because of the commercial prowess of a lot of clubs. They're able to spend way more money. Well, as a result, or as an offshoot of that, players' fees transfer fees go through the roof. So I don't know. It's always a strange one. I mean, listen, what the transfer window does for us, it gives you guys the media, it gives us agents, it keeps everyone on the toes, and we've got tons of talking points. There's your positives. For the football fan, it's a ton of entertainment, isn't it, watching deadline day? So
oh, yeah. It's drama playing out in front of you. I mean, I think one of the reasons could be that it's the first window ever where massive money has been offered for players, but clubs are quite happy to reject that money.
No, exactly. And that goes back to the point I've just made as well, Steve, isn't it, is that a lot of clubs now have that wealth. And, you know, there's clubs, you know, you sort of, let me be polite and say mid-level clubs, maybe your Southamptons and your West Hams and teams like that. You know, they might not go and spend 150 million in a transfer window, such as Everton, but they'll spend 20 and 30 million on individual players. But what they'll also be doing, Steve, is they're banking lots of that television money. So there'll come a time in the near future if the likes of the Southamptons and the Palaces and the West Hams remain in the Premier League, they might have acquired a £300 or £400 million transfer kitty because the TV money now is monstrous. the commercial activity and the commercial opportunities for Premier League clubs is monstrous. So all of a sudden, I think you'll see another club coming in. Listen, West Ham will never match Man City's wealth or a Man United's, you know, commercial wealth. They'll never do that. But there's more and more clubs now willing to spend big money, but also willing to compete with the Liverpools and the you know, the Evertons and all these clubs on wages as well. And that's where that banking of wealth really, really helps those people. Because a player might say, well, I don't want to play for Liverpool or Everton on 120 grand a week. But West Ham in London, in the capital city, yeah, they'll give me 150 grand a week. Now, that loads of players won't do that, but there'll be an element of top players who'll go, you know, a few grand more a week, living in London, that'll do me. So it is, it's a really interesting, for me, it's a really interesting next 3 to 5 years to see where the Premier League goes with the wealth and the money and the spend.
We'll wait and see how good a signing Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is. But what really warmed my heart about this deal was that he didn't chase the money. So, and I know you might think similar to me, because I think you've got a similar sort of vision on players sometimes. So yeah, he's gone for £120,000 a week, which is a lot of money anyway. But actually, yeah, Arsenal and Chelsea were offering him £180,000 a week. Now, I think 95% of footballers just smell the cash and go in that direction.
Yeah, you know what? That's the truth. But let me just throw this one to you. What better way for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and his agent to you know, get a major wave of emotion on signing at Liverpool to say, yeah, I know I'm getting 180 grand a week, Peter Moore, Jurgen Klopp, thanks for that. But should we tell the fans that I'm coming for 60 grand less? Because that'll be a major signing. It'll be major news, sorry, for me to join. You can always twist that, because you, me, you know, anyone who's not privy to that contract will never really know what Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain
does. It never come out in the public?
No, it would never come out in the public. People can guess, and people can say, well, he's an England player, so we should be on 120 grand a week. Well, why? Well, Sturridge is on that, you know. Coutinho's on 200. Who knows? You know, nobody will ever truly know on what he is. So, listen, agents and players and clubs can spin whatever they want to spin in the media to make it look great. I'm not saying they have. I'm just giving you a bit of insight as to what can happen.
I don't feel so warm about it anymore. Maybe he's earning more than £120,000 a week.
You know what, though? But this is the thing, Steve. You know what? As football fans, we look at that and we go, we don't really care if he is earning 180 grand a week. That sounds fantastic. We already love him. So you know what? Grasp that and love him and give him all the warmth that you want when he comes. So I'm just giving you a bit of insight as to what can happen. Because I think sometimes there isn't enough info for fans to truly understand. You know, and I've done a couple of podcasts for various guys, you know, around the city, as you well know. And when I do the agent insight, it always gets really well received, because people say, the fans say, didn't really understand that. I didn't really know that happened. Well, yeah, it does.
No, and I don't think we understand half of the dealings that go on behind the scenes. Definitely. With the agents. Is it harder in this day and age for agents to get the deal over the line? It's obviously more lucrative for you guys, but actually, is it a much harder process?
Yeah, much harder process. It's much harder to get top players. It's much harder to retain them. But it's a much harder process now, Steve, because there's a ton of people now in the vetting process, let's say that. So now you've got, it used to be, you'd ring Brian Clough and he'd go, yeah, I like him, bring him in, deal done, jobs are good. Now there's a due diligence process, there's stats, there's analysis, there's physio records, medical records, medical histories, you know, there's the character references, there's chief execs, is it commercial value, blah, 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 blah. So one transfer, people, you know, again, a lot of fans seem to think he's a good player. He's 40 million. We can afford it. He wants 120 grand a week. Get it done. Well, actually, it doesn't work that way. There's so much in terms of the rating of a player and just to make sure that he's the right guy, the right type for them, you know. So that sort of process can be monstrous. I mean, on deadline day now, I'll have calls from clubs for players, and they'll turn around and they will literally put somebody on it all day to get it done.
Wow.
You know, rating the player. It's massive. So, and at the Premier League clubs, you know, that process is huge, Steve.
I know you can't mention names, but have you got much on today, or have you literally sat back from the business?
You know me. I'm one of them. I'll get it done early. What I'm doing today is I'm helping several clubs. I've got some great relationships with some clubs. I'm helping several clubs with a couple of their targets. So I've probably got about four or five players to chase for a few clubs today. So that's interesting. And as I said, you know, me, the window irks me slightly anyway. So get it done, get away from the madness. And then if anything else comes in last minute from left field, I'll deal with that as well for any client they know that.
Sankey's window never closes. Give us some quick hopes for Evertonians and even Liverpool fans. So Liverpool fans still holding out for perhaps Lamar or Virgil van Dijk. Do you see either of them happening?
I see Van Dijk. Do you know what I do? I see Van Dijk happening. I don't know why, and it might not, but I've said from day one, it's too much money that Liverpool are willing to invest. So therefore, that gives the player a great bit of warmth. It's just, he's been cast aside at Southampton. It's becoming a pig's ear down at Southampton for them and for Van Dijk. I can't see any way that doesn't happen, Steve. It's not like Liverpool are saying, well, we're valuing you at 20 million. We're sticking at that and trying to absolutely nick the player and mug Southampton off. That's not the case. They're paying ridiculous amounts of money for a top-draw centre-back. What's right. not to love if you're Southampton or Van Dijk? So for me, that one happens.
But Lamar may be just a touch too far because Monaco have let too many players go?
Yeah, and that would be the reason it stops. But again, I read an article yesterday that they've got a major, major rebuilding job. And if they lose again, another superstar player, that could arguably make their season a joke as well. So I think that's the struggler. I really do. I'm not sure Coutinho goes and I'm not sure Lamar comes. So I think Liverpool fans will be quite happy with that, albeit with Coutinho putting his transfer request in. But I think Coutinho stays and Lamar stays at Monaco.
And does Farhad Moshiri or Bill Kenwright still have a shortened list of striking options that they can go to?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. You know, they're working on the guy from Hajduk Split, aren't they? Is it Vlasic?
Yeah, I think that one's virtually done. But yeah, I think maybe the fans want something a bit more.
Yeah, definitely, and that's the sort of the feeling I get from talking to the fans and people who I know support the club is that maybe they do need a little bit more firepower at Everton. So, again, what I would say to Evertonians is Steve Walsh is a master of it. Don't worry, he'll have a plan.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Radio City Talk.